I'm Linda Van Valkenburg.
And I'm Ron Gore. And you're listening to the Co-Parent Academy podcast. All right, so we're starting off today with a Reddit post. And here's the title of the Reddit post. I caught my eye because I had a case a lot like this before. So the title is, Father Didn't Sign Birth Certificate. Am I wrong for not allowing him to see our daughter? And here's the basic thumbnail synopsis. I'm leaving some parts out, probably parts that are relevant. So it's not perfect in any way. But there's an unmarried couple. She has the child in the hospital. He goes to the hospital to see the child. She wants him to sign the birth certificate. Because if you've never had a child before, you know, that's where that gets done, hopefully,
right,
is at the hospital. And he gets cold feet. Doesn't want to do it. She withholds visitation. They also have an argument about name. He wanted the child to have his last name, even though I guess he wasn't ready to sign the birth certificate. And she did not, but she was open potentially to a hyphenated last name, although they had both rejected that idea before. So apparently they'd had conversations about it. So lots going
like
on.
A lot of distrust going on both sides, and she's feeling hurt and he's feeling pretty leery about what's going on. But he's right. Kind of given her a mixed message perhaps about what she wants. And she may be giving him a mixed message too back because, you know, they're both kind of not too sure where they stand with each other.
Yeah. So, all right. I can understand maybe the guy perspective, and I always have a little bit more trouble understanding the lady perspective. So you can orient me on that. You know, from the guy's perspective, you know, it's really unfair for him to say, well, you know, maybe I'm not the only person she's with. She could certainly think the same thing about him. You know, they're not married and they're in this relationship.
That's probably something that has come up or might have been answered before they're in the hospital together, unless it's just... You know, I've had several cases where it's just literally was a one-night stand and they haven't really had much contact with each other in the last 9 months, you know?
So when you're saying might, are you saying should? Like it should have been talked about before?
Yes, should. Would have been nice. Yes.
You're so kind.
It would have been nice for it to have come up so that we're not, and as you just said about women, you know, I mean, that's an extremely vulnerable
sure.
Emotional time for a woman right after having given birth. I mean, literally, she's still in the hospital and he's, you know, questioning her ability to know who the father is.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely not the way you want to start that relationship with the new baby. You know, from his perspective, you sign that birth certificate and that's the beginning of the road to 18 years of child support. That's a big thing that you're signing. And it's typically not the birth certificate itself. It'll be some other acknowledgement of paternity. And, you know, the answer to that and what she has sort of said was, well, let's get a DNA test if you're not sure about it. But that's not immediate. You can't just do a DNA test right there. And there are cases in which a person signs an acknowledgement of paternity and, you know, the birth certificate, and they're having cases where judges wouldn't let them out.
Right.
The obligation. So it's not a little thing.
Right. And then we both have cases where, you know, a guy comes back many years later, or maybe the woman looks him up many years later to let him know he has a child that right. We didn't find out about when we should have too. So it can right. Go all sorts of different directions there.
Well, so let's think about this from sort of the kid's perspective, because that's our perspective. What actual benefit is there in terms of bonding for a child to have interaction with the father during that, not just the hospital stay, but let's assume if they're going down this road, it's going to be a few months before he can get into a court and have some legal rights granted. What's the benefit to the child over those 3 months of bonding with him? Is it possible? How does that work?
Oh, yes. It's wonderful to have the father there and have the father bonding as well. And in this case, it sounded like the the father knew the aunt of the mother, and they were close, and the aunt was facilitating a lot of time for the father to come to their house, and the mother was living with the aunt. So it was, you know, on one hand, it looks like the aunt is very intrusive, and the mother at one point in the letter says that she's asked her aunt to stay out of it and ask him to stop running to her aunt for, you know, time with the child and so forth. And yet the aunt is kind of in the middle by virtue of the fact that mom is living with her. And so it's, you know, you can't just, it's great to set boundaries appropriately, but on the other hand, if you're imposing on that person to live in her home, then that person could kind of decide, I guess, if she likes the father, if she wants him around too. So whew, it's a complicated situation.
That is. And, you know, and also not just, so we know that the child can bond, you know, and that obviously they don't know the words and they may not even have the great eyesight right away right. to start doing that bonding, but big gesture, you know, facial expressions, right. smiles, all right. of those things are the ways that the infant's going to bond. And also I think it's important not to neglect the idea that you want to sort of drum into that father as soon as possible, that he is now a father.
Right.
Because so much of parenting, especially from the father's perspective, is on how much you view yourself in that parental role.
Right.
You know, and you and I've talked about before, they had this study where they were putting cameras in NICUs, neonatal intensive care units, right. to allow family members to see the child, even though they couldn't be with the child because of the medical sure. procedures. And it was important to facilitate bonding
right.
of the family with that child.
Right.
So it's not just the child who needs to bond with the dad. It's the dad who needs to start to understand that he's a father and think of himself separate from, I'm this guy, I'm also now this father.
Because once again, biologically, the mother starts feeling that from the very beginning and for the 9 months that she's carrying the child. And it's hard on the guys sometimes, especially if they're not in, I don't think this said whether they had been living together or apart.
I don't recall it saying.
But, you know, if you're not together or, you know, planning on having a child together, then that, you know, frequently changes that initial bonding, you know, where you're doing a lot of things together around the pregnancy. And so it definitely does need to be looked at now. Of course, you and I see many mothers who feel like, I mean, I've heard so many times, I think it applies to this case, only this is the very beginning of it, in this situation is they will tell me when the kid is, you know, 7 or 15 that, you know, I've done everything there is to do with this child. You know, I've taken this child to every single doctor's appointment and every day of school and you name it. And yeah. where has he been? And so, you know, he's going to be one of these kind of guys unless she lets him in.
Well, you know, sometimes my initial, maybe not the most kind response to that is, well, she's been at the lumber company getting all that wood to build those gates because she
That's
is
a great analogy.
She is keeping him from there. And one of these things, one of the parts of her Reddit post, she's talking about, she's feeling really confused and, you know, understandably so with how he's going back and forth, but says, you know, he's coming over and he wants to help, I guess at the aunt's house, and he's calling her the child, my daughter, my baby, my, and she says it really rubs her the wrong way. And there's that possessiveness that we see so often in new right. parents. And when it's a possessiveness between the parents, then that is trouble.
Right. Now, I was kind of surprised. Interesting you mentioned that because I was actually kind of surprised to read the term our daughter in here a lot
right.
from the mother. Because I read jillions of emails, it seems like every day, from client mothers and fathers, and frequently the mother uses the my pronoun for my daughter, my son is not happy with this or that. My right. my daughter is having a problem with seeing usually the guy's first name, you know, Joe at the next session, you know, that kind of thing.
Right.
And so I give this woman props for using the our terminology for the fact that, you know, she is, if without the DNA proof in it, she sounds like she wants the guy to be the father and thinks he is. So, you know, he might ought to jump on that and appreciate it.
Yeah, he definitely should be appreciative of her basic instinct, which is to want him around, which seems like is only being tempered by him saying he doesn't want to make himself legally liable at the moment. So, of course, she's confused. And I think she's really struggling with a really legitimate internal conflict and wants the best for this baby. But, you know, another thing towards the end of it, she's asking this question, am I wrong for denying him visitation to our daughter? And that to me has always been kind of an interesting perspective. I mean, it is the case that the mother has the child and has that initial possession if there's not a marriage. But in, I always wonder, in what sense does she feel she has the right to deny the child access to the child's father? Now, I'm not worried about what's fair for the guy. That's not my concern at all. But she's denying her child, whom she loves, access to the child's own father. And presumably, she knows whether or not he's the father.
Right.
Because this is an asymmetrical information situation. She has better access to better information about the key thing than he does.
Yes.
And so she should be acting, I think, with some more generosity of spirit, understanding that he doesn't know.
Like I say, I think that's just because she feels hurt that he's not just all lovey-dovey and excited and so forth, you know, where that's her desire right then biologically to be bonding with him as well, parenting their child. And he does, or she says toward the end here that he does want to go to court. So, you know, I mean, that's where you come in. I would think that at some point he does need to kick in to proving his paternity and so forth.
I mean, it should be done immediately.
That's what I would
do. But lots of times too, when it says he wants to go to court, a lot of times what that is the paternal grandmother is You're saying, right. I'm not going to be the one dictated to by her. We need to get you your own rights so that we can have that child in our house as well.
Right.
And that can be it can be a motivator to get the case done. And often it's the source of financial resources to get done.
Yes, it is.
But just like new moms sometimes create improper gates to keep the father away. Grandmothers, especially paternal grandmothers of young men, very often overplay their hand.
And it can work the other way around too, with the maternal grandmothers protecting, in quotes, the grandchildren from the guy, especially if they're not real happy with the person that their daughter chose to be the father. Mm-hmm. And it can also be the case that those gates are still up or are built when parents have been married for years and have been together for a long time and they're getting a divorce. You know, more often than not, I don't know if I could put a percentage to it, but I see when parents do get a divorce, the kids almost always leave the home with the mother, or dad leaves the home and leaves the kids there. And then we have a tug of war over who's going to have what kind of visitation, or how long is it before dad does get to see him again.
Right. And honestly, you kind of want that to happen because in terms of one of them leaving, because right. The worst thing to happen is for them both to stay in the house.
It's a war of the roses then.
And very often, because of just how families set up their economic systems,
right.
Very often it's the father who feels more comfortable in actually being able to go out and get a small apartment and maintain right. Their family, their residence. And so there's lots of different ways, I think, in which that works. One of the thoughts that I'm thinking is, boy, where do they go from here?
Right.
So they have this issue of distrust at the very beginning. This may not be the first time that they ran into issues of trust. We don't know, right? We're sort of jumping in at the at the delivery stage.
Right.
But he wants to get this DNA test, and there's lots of good reasons why he would. And I'm sure his chorus, you know, we all have this Greek chorus of our family and friends who are like telling us things.
Right.
And I'm sure his is saying, don't sign anything till you get that DNA test. Will she ever forgive him?
Ooh, good question.
For ruining, from her perspective, what should be a really wonderful, stress-free time enjoying that new baby.
Right. Well, and once again, I think that that cow's already out of the barn, as they say, you know, I mean, we should have, a lot of things might should have been a little bit better in the first place, but so often now this is the way it seems to work where, things are not ever so traditional. And so what do we do about that? And sometimes I think people do need to be protective and have those boundaries up on both sides until they're for sure about things. But that, that's where I would hope that the, and I don't know how fast the paternity actions really do move, but I would hope it would move as fast as possible to let them have some time to bond at the beginning.
The ones that move super fast are the ones that maybe didn't even need to go to court initially. I mean, they all need to go to court to establish everybody's rights. But in terms of the interaction and the father being around, the ones that happen quickly are usually the ones where the folks don't even go to court for a while.
Mm.
Now, I never recommend that to my clients because, at least in Oklahoma, you have no rights until a court establishes them.
Right.
Just for the very reason he's talking about here, we all know that that mother is the mother of that child, but there's no real way to know about the father until you get a DNA test.
Right.
Well, so I wonder, what are some ways they can build up their trust? You know, how do they come back from this?
Well, she mentioned at one point that they had gone to her therapist together.
I saw that, yeah.
And I think it was just one time that he went, but that was a very good idea and something they should either explore further, I think, with that therapist if he felt comfortable, or if he didn't because it was her therapist, maybe find one together. A co-parenting therapist. And that's a role that I do more and more because it, you know, I think before such a thing as a co-parenting therapist was ordered by the court, it used to just be a relationship therapist or a marital therapist, but it didn't really seem to apply when they weren't married ever. And, or, you know, the child came before the marriage or a significant relationship. And so it's an easy way to engage the therapist for two people that are not married, but they do have a child together. And so they will be co-parenting.
And then in practical terms, I think just little baby steps of reaching out, being vulnerable, allowing the other person to meet your expectations, and then doing it over and over and over again until you can build that trust back up, starting with small things that maybe don't put you at great risk if the person lets you down. And then before you know it, you can actually have rebuilt some trust.
I liked the line there where she said, I realized I need to grow up and deal with him myself. So in other words, not just let her aunt deal with him all the time.
Right.
And then he's going to have to start communicating with me if he wants to see our daughter. So she, I like that she owned, first of all, what she needed to change and do differently. Mm-hmm. So, you know, she's, that's what I'm saying. I really do believe that she's got an investment in this dude to the extent that he must be the father or she wouldn't be, you know, so invested in, okay, I know what I need to do here and I need to communicate with him. So,
well, let's wish him all the luck in the world. You know, really, it seems like they have some real good intentions going into this and they're making some better steps than a lot of people in their situation. Yes. So more power to them.
Yes.
Thanks for listening. If you'd like to leave questions, comments, or concerns, please email podcast@coparentacademy.com. And please remember to rate, review, and subscribe to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you listen.